Well, this is Mother's Day, and I'm sure that every child is convinced that their mother is the best mother in all the world. Their mom is number one. And I believe it has been a gift that God has placed in the hearts of children to have that kind of respect and that kind of love for their mother. And because of that, they desire to please their mother. I read about a little girl whose name was Mary, 8 years old. She wrote her mother a little note on Mother's Day and attached it to a box of chocolates. And on the note it said, "Dear Mother, here is a box of candy I bought for you for Mother's Day. It is very good. I know because I've eaten 3 pieces already." I read about another little girl named Carol, also 8 years old, but this little girl was kind of, the nice way to say it was she was hyperactive. Just kind of bouncing off the walls, you know, and she wrote her mother a very sweet little card, and she taped to it 2 aspirins. And the note said, "Dear Mother, here are two aspirins. Have a happy Mother's Day." Yeah, I guess every child thinks their mom is the best. I know I do. I'm 60 years old, but I'm still my mama's little boy. I talked to her this morning, and she told me and reminded me. But every child thinks their mom is the best, and fortunate is the child who grows up and never loses that feeling. Fortunate is the child who grows up and never loses the love and the admiration that God has given for their mother. But while we say that and while we agree with that, we also understand we live in a very real world, don't we, that all mothers are not the same. All mothers are not the same. There are some women, in fact, there were over 12,000 of them in Singapore in the year 2010, who, when they discovered they were going to be mothers in order to avoid the inconvenience of a child to their own personal pleasure, in order to avoid the inconvenience of a child to their own personal lifestyle, they opted for having an abortion. Let me just say to you this morning, folks, that I understand that the government says it's legal. But may I also remind you this morning, there is coming a day when you will stand before a judge, and it won't be the government. It's going to be the holy God of heaven, and God says it's murder. To take a life that God has given. The Bible says children are a heritage from God, and to take a life that God has given and to take that life and murder that life is a crime and a sin against God. And though men may say it's okay, God says it's not okay. It's not okay. And there are many women, though, who will follow that advice and follow the counsel of the world, and they will abort a child. But even those women who actually go through the process of giving birth, the fact that they have given birth does not make them a good or a outstanding mother. Just because they give birth does not mean that they are a good mother. You see, it takes a special kind of woman to be a good mother. Any woman can be a mother, but it takes a special kind of woman to be a good mother. To be a good mother. A good mother is that woman who is willing to sacrifice herself. And her desires, and her dreams, and her ambitions, and her comforts, And she's willing to sacrifice those things and to take on the responsibility of investing her life into another human being who is totally dependent on her. That's a good mother. And so when it came time for the Lord God to send His only begotten Son into the world, when it came time for the Lord Jesus Christ to come into the world, God, out of all the millions of the women who were on the face of this earth, God chose one who was a cut above the rest. He chose a woman who would be a good mother. And so, as we consider motherhood on this Mother's Day, this morning I want us to take a look at the life of Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to, as we look at her life, I want us to see illustrated for us two characteristics I believe that will be seen in the life of every woman who becomes what I would call an outstanding mother. Two characteristics that are seen. Number one, as you follow along in your notes, number one, an outstanding mother is one who has a personal relationship with God. A personal relationship with her God. A good example of this is seen over in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 and following. Listen to what it says. The Apostle Paul, writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, and here's what he says. He says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance. Here's the thing that gave the Apostle Paul great joy. Here it is. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. That means a faith that is sincere, a faith that is pure, a faith that is not fake or phony, or it's not just on Sunday, but it's all the week long. It is a faith that was able to be seen Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and all the rest of the week. When I remember the unfeigned faith that was in thee, which dwelt first. Now notice it. Timothy had this kind of faith. Why? Because that kind of faith dwelt first in his grandmother Lois, and in his mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Through the influence of a mother who had a personal relationship with God, through the influence of a mother who had a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Timothy was raised up to become a man of God. He was raised up to be a man that would be used of God to do a great work for His name's sake. And Timothy, a great preacher, a great helper in the ministry, man of God, because he had a mother who had a faith that was unfeigned, had a faith that was real, had a faith that was visible to her family and to those who surrounded her. Of course, the child that was conceived in the womb of Mary by the power of the Spirit of God did not need a mother who would teach him to be a man of faith. After all, he was the Son of God. He did not need a mother that would teach him to be a man of faith. However, be that as it may, God the Father desired His Holy Son to be born to a mother whose life was marked by holiness. He desired that His Son should be born to a woman whose life would have a faith that was evident to all. And so I want us to notice a couple of things that were evident in in the life of Mary. First of all, I want you to notice that she had a spiritual relationship. She had a spiritual relationship in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 28, the Bible tells of that day when the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored." The words "highly favored" simply means that she is given a special honor. She is given a special privilege. She is going to experience and to enjoy something that no one else has ever enjoyed or experienced before. She is chosen for a special place. She is chosen for a special work. She is highly favored. And notice that the reason she is highly favored is because the Lord is with thee. It was because of her relationship with God that God was with her and she was chosen to do a great work for God. And therefore the angel concluded, "Blessed art thou among women." Notice that Mary was favored because the Lord was with her. She had a personal relationship with Him, and the type of relationship that Mary had with the Lord is very clearly stated in her own personal testimony. What kind of relationship did Mary have with the Lord? Well, notice in chapter 1, verse 46 and verse number 47, here's what Mary said. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Now I realize that there are some who would teach us that Mary experienced an immaculate conception. There are some who would teach that Mary was born without sin. That Mary was born in perfection. And therefore worthy of our worship. But I want you to see this morning that Mary, by her own testimony, declared that she was rejoicing in a God who was her Savior. Folks, if you do not have sin, you do not need a Savior. But if you are a sinner, then you stand in need of a Savior. And Mary declared to all the world that because of her understanding that she was a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because she understood her need as a sinner, she had turned to the Lord God in faith, trusting in Him and claiming Him as her Savior. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, then I want to say to you that if you're going to get to first base where Mary did, this is where it has to start. You're going to have to understand your need of a Savior like Mary did. You're going to have to understand your sinful condition. You're going to have to repent of that sin. Put your faith and trust in the provision that God made through Jesus Christ and claim Him as the Savior of your soul, just like Mary did. Just like Mary did. In other words, Mary understood her need. She acknowledged her condition. She understood the Old Testament sacrifices were something that would not bring an eternal salvation. She was going to trust in what God provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. But the point is simply this: to be a good mother in the eyes of God, Mary needed to have a personal relationship with Him. Mary needed to have a personal relationship with Him. She needed to know Him as her Savior. Know Him as her Savior. So she had a spiritual relationship. I want you to notice a second thing about Mary that made her an outstanding mother, and that is this. She had a spiritual integrity. A spiritual integrity. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Thou hast found favor with God. Now please understand this morning that many people who know the Lord as their Savior are never chosen by God to do some great work. Many people who are saved will never know what it is to be called to some great work that will be understood and honored and recognized by generations to come. But I want you to notice that Mary was a woman who was highly favored. She was highly favored. She found favor with God, and I believe the reason why is because Mary, not only did she have a relationship with God, she was a woman of spiritual integrity. We see this integrity, first of all, in her humility. In her humility. For many people, to receive a heavenly angel as a guest and to receive a wonderful announcement. I mean, just think about it. Suppose you go home today, you lay down for your Sunday afternoon nap, and you awaken to see an angel standing by your bed. And he says to you, "I have a wonderful announcement for you." If you are like most people today, the result of that announcement and that appearance would be a multi-million-dollar book signing deal. You would brag to all the world, "I saw an angel. Here's what he said." By the way, you go to Christian bookstores today, you can find that garbage all over the place, right? "I died and I came back." You know, it's kind of funny. If you know something about the Bible, it will help you to understand things. You know, the Bible says Paul died, right? He died, went up to the third heaven, and then he came back. But you know the big difference between Paul and the people who make the same claim? God told Paul, said, "When you go back, you don't even talk about what you have seen." People today claim they've gone to heaven. What do? They come back and write a book. Something wrong there somewhere, right? Something wrong there. Mary had an angel. He brought to her a great proclamation. But notice what she says in Luke chapter 1, verse 48 and 49. Instead of becoming proud and becoming exalted and lifted up and arrogant over what had been shown to her, notice what she said. "He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is my name." Is that what it says? No. Not holy is my name, holy is his name. You see, Mary had a spiritual integrity, and it's seen in her humility that in spite of the fact she's given this great honor, instead of exalting herself, her exaltation goes to God. "He is the one who has done these things for me. He is the one who has blessed me." She had nothing before she received the message. She was merely a lowly maiden of Nazareth. And after receiving the angelic message, it was God's name that she desired to see magnified. It was God's name she wanted to see exalted. It was God's name she wanted to see glorified. Not her name, His name. Integrity, seen in humility. And therefore, even during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is interesting, as you read through the four Gospels, you will find that Mary never sought to interfere or to take away from His glory and give it to herself. integrity. The integrity of humility. There's also an integrity that is seen, number two, in her faith. An integrity that is seen in her faith. In verse number 31 of Luke chapter 1, the angel said to her, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Now that was the declaration that was given. That's the promise that was given. Mary, you're going to conceive, you're going to have a child, and here's what you're to name that child. You're to call his name Jesus. Look down at verse number 34. In verse number 34, the Bible says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now I want you to understand this morning that this was not a question of doubt. She was not doubting God's ability here. It was not a question of doubt. Rather, it was a question of wonder. How can a virgin have a child? How can a virgin have a child? And so after explaining how this would take place, you can read it, Luke chapter 1, verse number 35. After explaining how it would happen, the angel made the simple and the profound declaration in Luke 1:37, "With God nothing shall be impossible." Nothing is impossible with God. And that was it. There was no arguing. There was no discussion. There was no questioning. As far as Mary was concerned, the angel said it. The matter was settled. That's it. By faith. I don't understand this, but I'll believe what you say, I'll trust what you say, and by faith, she accepted the message of God's messenger. And therefore, we see the spiritual integrity of Mary, once again, number three, in her submission. In her submission. And we need to remember that in the times that Mary lived under the Old Testament dispensation of law. She lived under the old dispensation of the law. And according to the law, for a lady to be engaged to be married, living in the nation of Israel under the laws that came down from Mount Sinai, for a lady engaged to be married, that was a big deal. That was a big deal. And for a lady who was engaged to be married to then be found with child, that was a bigger deal. That was a bigger deal. You see, as a result of this thing that the angel had announced, Mary, you're going to have a child. The Spirit of God is going to come upon you. You're going to conceive. You're going to bring forth a child. It's going to be the Son of God. Can you imagine? After Mary went and visited with her cousin Elizabeth for 3 months and then returned back to the city of Jerusalem and she was beginning to show. And people began to question. An angel came and told me that the Spirit of God and I'm... Yeah, they responded just like you. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, woohoo! But what kind of dream did you have? Nobody believed that. Nobody believed that. Because of this thing, Mary totally understood. She totally understood what would happen because of what the angel had told her. She totally understood that in the Old Testament economy, her reputation is going to be destroyed. She understood that. She understood that her family is going to be disappointed. She understood that her friends would desert her. Don't have anything to do with her. Not cool to be a friend of Mary because she's, you know. But there was even a bigger problem. Deuteronomy 22, verse 23 and 24. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, that's what Mary was. She was betrothed. She was given to Joseph. They were engaged. This is talking about, this is Mary right here. And a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them forth out of the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones, that they die. The damsel, and here's the reason why she is stoned to death, it's because she did not cry out being in the city. In other words, if a man attacks a young woman who is engaged to be married and he begins to try to force himself upon her, the woman has the option of crying out, "Help!" And somebody would come and deliver her. But if the woman doesn't cry out, she's guilty. Stone her with stones. Not only that, it continues. And the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from among you. In other words, not only was Mary in danger of losing her reputation, disappointing her family, seeing the desertion from all of her friends, she was in danger of being put to death. According to the law. And yet in spite of the problems, in spite of the dangers, when the angelic message was delivered to her, listen to the humble submission, Luke 1:38. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She was totally submitted to the will of God. No matter what the consequences may be to her personally, she was going to obey and follow what God said. She was totally submitted to the will of God. You see, the first thing that is necessary to become an outstanding mother, ladies, the first thing to becoming an outstanding mother is a personal relationship with God that is marked by evidences of a spiritual integrity. So the second thing that I want us to notice, and that is this, not only was there a proper relationship with her God, but I want you to notice number two, there was a proper relationship with her family. A proper relationship with her family. And there's two things concerning her relationship with her immediate family that I want us to notice together. First of all, consider her relationship toward her husband. Her relationship toward her husband. When Mary was given the news by the angel, she had gone to visit her cousin and had stayed there for about 3 months. As I mentioned a moment ago, you can read about it in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 56. She stayed there until after John the Baptist was born. And then after John the Baptist was born, she then came back to Jerusalem. And after that period of time was obviously showing the signs of motherhood. But you remember, we find in Matthew chapter 1 that an angel had appeared to Joseph. When she came back and Joseph saw the condition, you can imagine the shock that he was in, and yet because of his love for her, he did not want to make her a public example. He didn't want to have her stoned to death. He determined that he would just kind of privately put her away. But an angel appeared to Joseph. And an angel said, "Joseph, don't be afraid. This is of God. What Mary has told you is true. This child that is to be born is going to be the Son of God. And so go ahead, don't be afraid. She's not been unfaithful. She's not been unloyal to you. You go ahead and take her to be your wife." And so the Bible says in Matthew 1, 24 and verse 25, Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son. In other words, he had no physical relations with her until after she brought forth the child, and he called his name Jesus. Now here's the point I want to make this morning. As you go through and study the gospel records, never one time do we find that Mary was anything more than a submissive wife who followed the leading of her husband. Never any time do you see Mary say to Joseph, "Well, who do you think you are telling me what to do? After all, I'm the mother of Jesus, you know." I mean, what could Joseph say, right? Never one time did she in pride, did she in arrogance come across as anything more than a humble, submissive wife who sought never to exalt herself over her husband. And she never sought to get her own way with her husband. She simply became to him exactly what you find in Proverbs 31. A godly wife who honored her husband and did everything that she could to be the kind of wife God wanted her to be. We see her relationship toward her husband. But then also we see her relationship toward her child. Her relationship toward her child. A couple of things that we find here that we want to mention. First of all, we see her relationship toward her child as it is seen in her presentation. In her presentation. In chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke, in verse number 22, the Bible says, when the days of her purification... By the way, that purification rite that Mary went through, if you go back and read the Old Testament Scriptures, that purification included offerings for sin. Again, if Mary was without sin, there was no need for the purification. But after the days of her purification were completed according to the law of Moses, after it was all accomplished, they brought him, talking about the Lord Jesus, they brought him to Jerusalem, notice it, to present him to the Lord. In other words, Mary understood that this child had been given to her by God. And therefore her desire was that this child that God had given to her, in turn, she wanted to give it back to God. In other words, she wanted that child to grow up to love God, to serve God, to do the will of God all the days of his life. Some weeks ago, Brother Eugene and Sister Patricia brought their two twins. They brought them here to the front. And we had a prayer of dedication. That's exactly what we were doing. We were giving that gift that God had given to them, and they were giving it back to God. They want those girls to grow up to live for God and to serve God and to be what God wants them to be. And that's exactly what Mary did here. They brought the Christ child that God had given to them, and now they gave it back to the Lord. And folks, that is a trait that will be seen. That is a desire that will be seen in the life of every truly outstanding mother. Greatest desire, see your kids live for God. Greatest desire, see your kids put God first. I remember when our boys were growing up, their mother, my wife, many times I would hear her tell them, "I don't really care what you do for a living, whether you're a garbage collector or a president. My only concern is that you live for God and put Him first. If you'll do that, we'll be happy." That's a good mother. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way Mary was. She came and she presented that child to God. And that's so vitally important because, folks, children will usually not do what they are told. Have you ever noticed that? Kids normally do not do what they are told. Rather, they do what they are taught. They do what they're taught. Don't tell your kids that being faithful in church is important and then let them see you lay out Sunday night, Wednesday night, never show up for any of the special meetings, too busy with work to put God first, and then you try to tell your kids how important it is to live for God. You think they're going to listen to what you say, or do you think they're going to follow what you have shown? Think about it. Think about it. That's why the wise man said in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 9, notice the wording very carefully, train up a child. Notice it doesn't say, talk him to death. Doesn't say, nag him to distraction. No, train up. You know how you train? You train by example. Watch this. I'm going to show you what to do. Here's what you do. I'm going to train you. They call it on-the-job training. Why? Because you are on the job and you are watching what is being done and you learn the job by watching how the job is accomplished. You don't do that in a classroom. You don't do it by getting a lecture. You don't get it by getting nagged and harped on. No, you are trained by watching what is being done by those who already have been down the road. And that's how you teach your children. Train up a child in the way he's old, and when the way he should go, and when he's old, notice it, when he's old, he won't depart from that. Mary's relationship with her child, seen in her presentation. But right along with what we've been saying, it's also seen in her example. In Luke chapter 2, verse 41 and verse 42, the Bible says that his parents, talking about Mary and Joseph, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. In other words, Mary was one who was faithfully going to the house of God. She was one who was faithfully attending the worship services of the temple. And so it's no surprise at all. In Luke chapter 4 and verse number 16, the Bible says, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that when He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and notice it, as His custom was. Interesting phrase. As His custom was. He went into the synagogue on the seventh day. You know why it was his custom? It goes back to what I said a minute ago. It's because when he was just a little child, his mother said, "We're going to the synagogue today." Now, unlike your children, I sincerely doubt that Jesus argued with them, because after all, again, he was God. But even had those children begun, or even if Jesus had begun to make excuses, "Well, Mom, I'm tired," or "Mom, I need to do this," or "Mom, I need to do this," or "Mom, I need to..." No, we're going to God's house today. Going to God's house today. And it became a custom in the life of Jesus. I remember when I was growing up, I don't ever remember a Sunday. I understand I was born on a Saturday, and I missed that Sunday, but the next Sunday I was in church, and I don't think... You know, when I grew up, there just wasn't a question, you know. My dad said, "You're going to church, you know. Unless you're dead or running a fever of 147, you're going to church." It became a custom. Now, instead of being easy to make excuses to stay out of church, I find it hard to make excuses to stay out of church, because it's a custom. In fact, there's been some times when we have canceled a service a Wednesday night or something for one reason or another, and I'll be honest with you, from Sunday to Sunday, if I'm not in church on Wednesday night, I feel so backslidden by the time the next Sunday comes, I feel like I need to come and repent. Mothers, if you want your kids to grow up for God, then you're going to have to set the example. You're going to have to set the example. We're out of time. Let me close with this. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th President of the United States, he made this statement. He said, "I regard no man as poor who has a godly mother." I regard no man as poor, whatever his financial level may be. If he has a godly mother, he's not a poor man. I want to change that quote just a little bit. I want to give you the Crocker version. The Crocker version says, "I regard no man as rich who has a mother that refuses to teach her children by word and by example what it means to love and to obey God." If you are not teaching your children to love and to obey God, then mothers, I fear that you have not only failed as a mother, but you have committed against your children the greatest sin that you could commit. And here's the reason why. Because Jesus said in Mark chapter 8 and verse number 36, "What shall it profit a man if he gains all the world?" You teach your child how to make a lot of money and how to rise high in business and how to do this and do that and do the other thing and have all the pleasures that the world has to offer, and your child dies and spends eternity in hell. What good have you done for your child? What does it profit a man if he should gain all the world and yet lose his own soul? Mothers, may God help you this morning, and may God help all of us to dedicate ourselves afresh and anew to love God and to serve God with all of our hearts, and then to raise up the children that God gives to us in the very same way. Because let me tell you something, that is the only hope for the next generation. It's the only hope for the next generation. May God help you to be the mothers that you ought to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning.